through the period of expansion, not to be run like other institutions. We never proposed to establish sanitariums to have them run in nearly the same grooves as other institutions. If we do not have a sanitarium which is, in many things, decidedly contrary to other institutions, we can see nothing gained. To treat sick on different lines from other institutions. The Lord years ago gave me special light in regard to the establishment of a health institution where the sick could be treated on altogether different lines from those followed in any ether institution in our world. It was to be founded and conducted upon Bible principles as the Lord's instrumentality, and it was to be in His hands one of the most effective agencies for giving light to the world. It was God's purpose that it should stand forth with scientific ability, with moral and spiritual power, and as a faithful sentinel of reform in all its bearings. All who should act a part in it were to be reformers, having respect to its principles, and heeding the light of health reform shining upon us as a people. God designed that the institution which He should establish should stand forth as a beacon of light, of warning and reproof. He would prove to the world that an institution conducted on religious principles, as an asylum for the sick, could be sustained without sacrificing its peculiar, holy character, that it could be kept free from the objectionable features found in other health institutions. It was to be an instrumentality for bringing about great reforms. A practical demonstration of our principles. The work of advocating the principles of health reform is not to be a haphazard work. It is a work which is deep and broad and high, an essential work, the credentials of which are its practical workings. Because we are health reformers, we are not to make a raid upon people's habits and practices. This is striking too directly at the gods they worship. Instead, we are to offer them something better. Why have we established health reform institutions? That we may give people a practical demonstration of the principles we advocate. The heavenly angels are intensely interested in those who are fighting the good fight of faith. Our Savior is watching earnestly the warfare between good and evil agencies. Satan is working constantly to bring in interests that will so absorb men's minds that they will lose eternity out of their reckoning. Those in high places are so deeply taken up with that which concerns common, worldly enterprises that they have no sense of their spiritual needs. For this reason, the Lord has directed the establishment of institutions upon a plan entirely different from that followed by the world. It is God's will that sanitariums shall be erected. These institutions are to be conducted on gospel principles. The gospel is to give character to every sanitarium that shall be established among Seventh-day Adventists. Every sanitarium established among Seventh-day Adventists should be made a Bethel. Those who are connected with this branch of the work should be consecrated to God. The light upon health reform must be given to the world. Educate, 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 in the sanitarium and out of it. Lead all with whom you come in contact to think of Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. To reform habits, appetites, and passions. The Lord desires through His people to answer Satan's charges by showing the result of obedience to right principles. He desires our health institutions to stand as witnesses for the truth. They are to give character to the work which must be carried forward in these last days in restoring man through a reformation of the habits, appetites, and passions. Seventh-day Adventists are to be represented to the world by the advanced principles of health reform which God has given us. Still greater truths are unfolding for this people as we draw near the close of time, and God designs that we shall everywhere establish institutions where those who are in darkness in regard to the needs of the human organism may be educated, that they in their turn may lead others into the light of health reform.
How we began. The treatment we gave when the sanitarium was first established required earnest labor to combat disease. We did not use drug concoctions. We followed hygienic methods. This work was blessed by God. It was a work in which the human instrumentality could cooperate with God in saving life. There should be nothing put into the human system that would leave its baleful influence behind. And to carry out the light on this subject, to practice hygienic treatment, and to educate on altogether different lines of treating the sick, was the reason given me why we should have sanitariums established in various localities. I have been pained when many students have been encouraged to go to Ann Arbor to receive an education in the use of drugs. The light which I have received has placed an altogether different complexion on the use made of drugs than is given at Ann Arbor or at the sanitarium. We must become enlightened on these subjects. To reform medical practices. As to drugs being used in our institutions, it is contrary to the light which the Lord has been pleased to give. The drugging business has done more harm to our world and killed more than it has helped or cured. The light was first given to me why institutions should be established, that is, sanitariums were to reform the medical practices of physicians. Our sanitariums and preventive medicine. God desires suffering human beings to be taught how to avoid sickness by the practice of correct habits of eating, drinking, and dressing. Many are suffering under the oppressive power of sinful practices who might be restored to health by an intelligent observance of the laws of life and health, by cooperating with Him who died that they might have eternal life. This is the knowledge that men and women need. They need to be taught how to study the divine laws given by Christ for the good of all mankind. This is the work that is to be done in our sanitarium. An educating and evangelistic power. In the preparation of a people for the Lord's second coming, a great work is to be accomplished through the promulgation of health principles. The people are to be instructed in regard to the needs of the physical organism and the value of healthful living as taught in the Scriptures, that the bodies which God has created may be presented to Him a living sacrifice, fitted to render Him acceptable service. There is a great work to be done for suffering humanity in relieving their sufferings by the use of natural agencies that God has provided, and in teaching them how to prevent sickness by the regulation of the appetites and passions. The people should be taught that transgression of the laws of nature is transgression of the laws of God. They should be taught the truth in physical as well as in spiritual lines, that the fear of the Lord tendeth to life. Proverbs 19, verse 23. If thou wilt enter into life, Christ says, keep the commandments. Matthew 19, verse 17. Live out my law as the apple of thine eye. Proverbs 7, verse 2. God's commandments, obeyed, are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Proverbs 4, verse 22. Our sanitariums are an educating power to teach the people in these lines. Those who are taught can in turn impart to others a knowledge of health-restoring and health-preserving principles. Thus, our sanitariums are to be an instrumentality for reaching the people, an agency for showing them the evil of disregarding the laws of life and health, and for teaching them how to preserve the body in the best condition. Sanitariums are to be established in different countries that are entered by our missionaries, and are to be centers from which a work of healing, restoring, and educating shall be carried on. Sowing seeds of truth. We are to labor both for the health of the body and for the saving of the soul. Our mission is the same as that of our Master, of whom it is written that He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by Satan. Acts 10, verse 38. Our sanitariums in all their departments should be memorials for God, His instrumentalities for sowing the seeds of truth in human hearts. This they will be if rightly conducted.
The living truth of God is to be made known in our medical institutions. Many persons who come to them are hungering and thirsting for truth, and when it is rightly presented, they will receive it with gladness. Our sanitariums have been the means of elevating the truth for this time and bringing it before thousands. The religious influence that pervades these institutions inspires the guests with confidence. The assurance that the Lord presides there and the many prayers offered for the sick make an impression upon their hearts. Many who have never before thought of the value of the soul are convicted by the Spirit of God, and not a few are led to change their whole course of life. Impressions that will never be effaced are made upon many who have been self-satisfied, who have thought their own standard of character to be sufficient, and who have felt no need of the righteousness of Christ. When the future test comes, when enlightenment comes to them, not a few of these will take their stand with God's remnant people. God is honored by institutions conducted in this way. In His mercy, He has made the sanitariums such a power in the relief of physical suffering that thousands have been drawn to them to be cured of their maladies. And with many, physical healing is accompanied by the healing of the soul. From the Savior, they receive the forgiveness of their sins. They receive the grace of Christ and identify themselves with Him, with His interests, His honor. Many go away from our sanitariums with new hearts. The change is decided. These, returning to their homes, are as lights in the world. The Lord makes them His witnesses. Their testimony is, "I have seen His greatness. I have tasted His goodness." "Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what He hath done for my soul." Psalm 66, verse 16. Thus, through the prospering hand of our God upon them, our sanitariums have been the means of accomplishing great good, and they are to rise still higher. God will work with the people who will honor Him. Patients never forget prayers and songs. In His mercy, God has made the sanitarium such a power in the relief of physical suffering that thousands are drawn to it to be cured of their maladies. And very often they are not only cured physically, but from the Savior they receive the forgiveness of their sins. And they identify themselves completely with Christ, with His interests, His honor. Their sins are taken away and are placed at Christ's account. His righteousness is imputed to them. The healing balm is applied to the soul. They receive the grace of Christ and go forth to impart to others the light of truth. The Lord makes them His witnesses. Their testimony is, "He was made to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." They never forget the prayers, the songs of praise and thanksgiving that they heard while at the sanitarium. Best way to reach higher classes. 25 years ago, the Lord revealed to me that the best way in which to reach the higher classes is through our sanitariums. These institutions are to be located away from the cities and are to be surrounded with land enough to enable fruit and produce to be grown. In the sanitarium which we are about to erect in New South Wales, provision must be made for all classes. The accommodation and treatment must be such that patients of the higher class will be attracted to the institution. Rooms must be fitted up for the use of those who are willing to pay a liberal price. Rational methods of treatment must be followed. The patients must not be given alcohol, tea, coffee, or drugs, for these always leave traces of evil behind them. By their stay at the sanitarium, the patients are to become acquainted with Seventh-day Adventists and the reasons of their faith. Physicians and nurses are to manifest a deep interest in the physical sufferings of those to whom they minister. As efforts are made to remove suffering and disease, the hearts of the patients will be softened. Every physician should be a Christian. In Christ's stead, he is to stay by the suffering one, ministering to the needs of the sin-sick soul, as well as to the needs of the diseased body. To us as a people, God has given advanced light, and we are to seek to gain access to souls, that we may give them this truth. As the physicians and nurses in our sanitariums hold out to the patients the hope of restoration to physical health, they are also to present the blessed hope of the gospel, the wonderful comfort to be found in the mighty healer, who can cure the leprosy of the soul. Thus hearts will be reached, and he who gives health to the body will speak peace to the soul. The life-giver will fill the heart with a joy that will work miraculously.
Mrs. Henry, an example. The sanitarium will be a memorial for God, if it is conducted in all lines as it should be. Many who come to the sanitarium will receive their impression of the truth, as did Sister Henry. She was one of God's precious ones, and through your skill, which has been given you of God, his truth was magnified. This is as it should be. All the influence you can give to the sanitarium is none too much. The medical missionary work might better be named the missionary health restoration work. Not to conceal our peculiar characteristics. When brought in contact with the higher classes of society, let not the physician feel that he must conceal the peculiar characteristics which sanctification through the truth gives him. The physicians who unite with the work of God are to cooperate with God as his appointed instrumentalities. They are to give all their powers and efficiency to magnifying the work of God's commandment-keeping people. Those who in their human wisdom try to conceal the peculiar characteristics that distinguish God's people from the world will lose their spiritual life and will no longer be upheld by his power. Seventh-day Adventist principles to be magnified and exalted. God looks not upon outward display, but upon the heart. Well-advised movements must be made. Nothing must be invested extravagantly. It is not because we desire to exalt ourselves that we are seeking to build up a sanitarium, but because we desire to honor God and properly represent the truth which has been misrepresented. In this institution, our peculiar religious principles are to be magnified and exalted. Never are they to be hidden. To represent Jehovah, no compromise with idolaters. Every institution established by Seventh-day Adventists is to be to the world what Joseph was in Egypt, and what Daniel and his fellows were in Babylon. As in the providence of God these chosen ones were taken captive, it was to carry to heathen nations the blessings that come to humanity through a knowledge of God. They were to be representatives of Jehovah. They were never to compromise with idolaters. Their religious faith and their name as worshippers of the living God, they were to bear as a special honor. And this they did. In prosperity and adversity, they honored God, and God honored them. Stretch every faculty to bring saving truths to suffering. A work of reformation is to be carried on in our institutions. Physicians, workers, nurses are to realize that they are on probation, on trial for their present life, and for that life which measures with the life of God. We are to put every faculty to the stretch in order to bring saving truths to the attention of suffering human beings. This must be done in connection with the work of healing the sick. Then the cause of truth will stand before the world in the strength which God designs it to have. Through the influence of sanctified workers, the truth will be magnified. It will go forth as a lamp that burneth. When the banner of truth is no longer honored, God has given direction that sanitariums ought to be established in different places. These institutions are to be his agencies for reaching a class of people that nothing else will reach. In these instrumentalities, the light of truth is to burn brightly. The sanitarium is to be the Lord's memorial, a witness to the efficacy of the truth. Those who come to the institution are to see that in it the fear of the Lord is known to be the beginning of wisdom. When the banner of truth is no longer the honored, respected banner of the institution,
the Lord will withdraw from the institution his keeping power. If not soul-saving, why erect sanitariums? The work to be done by our sanitariums is to labor for the salvation of the men and women who come for treatment. To bring men and women to a belief of the truth is the work which is to be done by all our institutions. If this cannot be done in our sanitariums, why should we be at the expense of erecting them? To stand in advance of all other institutions. The Lord revealed that the prosperity of the sanitarium was not to be dependent alone upon the knowledge and skill of its physicians, but upon the favor of God. It was to be known as an institution where God was acknowledged as the monarch of the universe, an institution that was under his special supervision. Its managers were to make God first and last and best in everything. And in this was to be its strength. If conducted in a manner that God could approve, it would be highly successful and would stand in advance of all other institutions of the kind in the world. Great light, great knowledge, and superior privileges were given, and in accordance with the light received would be the responsibility of those to whom the carrying forward of the institution was entrusted. Testimonies for the Church, 223.